Here we go.
My topic is facility characteristics and risk of developing a pressure ulcer in the United States nursing homes. I want to acknowledge Dr. Kathy Heyer, who's also in the audience, for her contribution to this study. This is the major content of my presentation today, and as estimated, there are 1.3 to 3 million adults who are diagnosed with pressure ulcer annually, and the cost of treating each ulcer range from $500,000 to $40,000 per ulcer, depending on the severity of each ulcer. And from fiscal year 2008, CMS stopped paying for hospital-acquired pressure ulcer because they consider it as a preventable condition. In addition, CMS proposed the reduction of population percentage of a pressure source as a common quality measure in the Medicare fee-for-service program across settings, including nursing homes. Despite all the federal policy and financial incentives, the prevalence of pressure also remains high in nursing home settings. In this study, I used Anderson's behavioral model of health service use to arrange all the variables. Also, I included facility factors as a fourth category, which include bed size, ownership, region, and etc. The overall goal of this study is to examine facility level factors on nursing home acquired pressure ulcer after controlling for individual risk factors. The major data set I'm using for this study is two major subsets of the 2004 National Nursing Home Survey, which is the current resident survey and the facility file. The common variable between these two files was acquired through the research data center at the National Center for Health Statistics in Healthwell, Maryland, and the statistical analysis was conducted there as well. The dependent variable in this study is the pressure ulcer at four stages, measured by depth and severity of tissue damage, ranged between stage 1 to 4, 1 being the least and 4 being the most. The independent variables at the facility level, I included all the facility level measures. I want to highlight the nursing staff measures, which include total nursing hours per day, RN-FTE, that's solely devoted to bedside care, facility percentage of RN that stayed for more than 1 year in the same facility, facility accreditation status. Also, these two groups of measures include the clusters of beds caring for special care needs, including such conditions, and whether this facility provide any special care program with specially trained staff caring for these following conditions. For the independent variables at the individual level, I included demographic characteristics, their payment sources, their primary diagnosis at admission, total number of ADLs per person, their limitations in bed mobility, whether they are restrained by bed rail, whether this individual is receiving any nutritious approaches, they experience any pains in the past 7 days, experience any weight loss. And also, this length of stay measure is a binary measure that the cutoff point is 90 days. I conducted a binary descriptive analysis with chi-square statistics used to test the joint statistical significance. Also, I used a multinomial logistic regression model to predict risk-adjusted odds ratio for facility-level factors within the ulcer patients at four stages, while I'm controlling for the individual characteristics. Also, I conducted the correlation coefficient analysis to detect any possible multicollinearity and to rule out possible two independent variables with higher correlation in the same multivariate model, which is higher than 50%. As a result of this correlation coefficient analysis, I detect the high correlation between the total ADL measures per person versus the bed mobility test. As a result, I only included the latter one in the multivariate analysis model. For the descriptive analysis, the total population included here is 12,000 current residents aged 50 and older from 11,000 facilities in 2004. And as we can see from the pie chart, the distributions of all the sample populations, these four are distributions of resin that developed four stages of pressure ulcer respectively. And as we can see from the, as a result of the descriptive analysis, the most recurrent diagnosis include the current diagnosis at the time of interview, include cardiovascular disease and dementia. And at admission, the diagnosis, the most recurrent diagnosis is the ulcer, and the resident diagnosis with ulcer at all stages has limitations in 4 or more ADLs per person. Also in the sample population, about 2/3 were restricted in bed mobility. About 9 out of 10 of the residents were diagnosed with ulcers were limited in bed mobility. About 1 out of 7 samples were restrained by bed rail, and the prevalence of bed rail were higher among ulcer patients in various stages. There are slightly more than half of the sample population were receiving some type of nutritious approaches. About 1/4 experienced some pain in the past 7 days, and about 8% of the sample population experienced weight loss. The share of receiving any nutritious approaches experienced pain or weight loss was higher among ulcer patients at all 4 stages. The racial composition of black residents was slightly higher than 10% within the whole sample population in this study, while about 17% of stage 4 ulcer patients were blacks, which is much higher than 10%. Nearly 2/3 of residents diagnosed with stage 4 ulcer resided in metropolitan facilities. More than half of the sample were residing in facilities with less than 10% of Medicare beneficiaries. Nearly 1/3 and 30% were residing in facilities within 10 to 20% or 20% or more Medicare beneficiary accordingly. About 8% of the total sample were residing in facilities with lower share of a Medicare beneficiary, Medicaid beneficiary, which is lower than 10%. About 13% of the sample was admitted to accredited facilities. Majority of residents were in facilities that had a medical director or director of nursing on board. More than 2/3 of the RNs stayed more than 1 year in the same facility. Each facility had higher than 4 RN FTEs that solely devoted to bedside care. Okay, in the following two slides, is my the result of multivariate analysis of the logistic regression. I arranged them by 4 stages of pressure ulcers, ulcer ratio, 95% confidence interval. I believe it's too small for you to look at from here, so I'm going to narrate on my own, in my own words. So according to the multivariate models, individuals in the for-profit nursing homes were less likely to develop ulcers at early stages, but more likely to develop ulcer at stage 4. And the rural location was associated with greater odds of developing stage 2 ulcer. A higher facility concentration of black individuals was associated with greater risks of early stage ulcer, relative to those in facilities with lower concentration of Medicare beneficiaries. Resident in facility with higher concentration of black Medicare beneficiary, which is higher than 10%, were more likely to develop ulcers at all stages. Residing in facility with higher share of Medicaid beneficiaries, which is higher than 40%, predicted a greater risk of developing ulcers. Residing in a facilities with medical director or nursing director of nursing on board, each reduced the risk of developing ulcers as various stages. Also, I mentioned I'm using the two measures of clusters of beds that's caring for special care needs or special care programs to caring for special care with specially trained staff. As a result of multivariate analysis, the clusters of beds, first, the caring for Alzheimer's disease behavior problems, and the hospice cares was predicted smaller odds of developing pressure ulcers. The clusters of beds caring for rehabilitation was associated with kind of conflict results. In terms of special care programs with specially trained staff, special care programs caring for hospice programs or for behavior problems was each associated with smaller risks of pressure ulcer at various stages. However, the programs for caring for continence management predict greater risks for ulcers at various stages. My explanation for now is usually a patient that needs caring for continence program, they have experienced incontinence condition, which is the risk factor for pressure ulcer already. And as a result of the multivariate analysis at the individual level, the individual predictor's older age, which is 85 or older, was associated with greater risks of stage 1 ulcer, but smaller risks of ulcers at later stage. Being black, I was less likely to develop an early stage ulcer, but more likely to develop stage 4 ulcer. Being a male resident was more likely to be diagnosed with ulcer at all 4 stages. Using Medicaid was associated with smaller ulcers of stage 1 and 3 ulcers, whereas using Medicare predict greater ulcers of ulcers at stage 1, 2, and 3, but smaller ulcers of later stage ulcer. Pressure ulcer diagnosis at admission increased the risk of ulcer at all stages after admission, especially for the later stage ulcer. Residence characteristics such as restraint by bed rail, disabilities in bed mobility, receiving any nutritional approaches, experiencing any pains in the past 7 days, and weight loss predicted greater risks of pressure ulcers at all stages. Okay, so the last section is the policy implications. As we can tell from the multivariate analysis, the residents in the nursing home with medical director or director of nursing on board was each associated with reduced risk of developing a pressure ulcer. The reason is the presence of a medical director is able to offer prompt diagnosis and treatment. A director of nursing on board is able to provide professional guidance and to organize the nursing staff, the LPNs, the CNAs on board, therefore to enhance the efficiency of the care provided. Also, we noticed several of the clusters of bed or special care programs are helpful to reduce the occurrence of pressure ulcers. Okay, since most nursing home facilities are highly relied on public insurance sources such as the Medicare, Medicaid, federal and state licensure agencies should encourage nursing homes to establish special care programs that target residents' special care needs and to reduce the prevalence of nursing home acquired pressure ulcers. The other two implication is the financing long-term care. As I mentioned before, according to this study, Medicaid as the payment at the facility level and Medicare payment at both individual and facility levels are associated with greater risk of pressure ulcers. We all know CMS, the Nursing Home Value-Based Purchasing Demonstration, is designed to reward quality and efficiency of care among Medicare-covered nursing home residents. However, the current CMS measure failed to address the risk factors and long-term care needs for ulcer patients with different severities. As we all know, for example, for the other quality measure like the pain, measure of pain is the measure of from moderate to severe pains. However, for the pressure ulcer measurement is a binary measurement included in the current system. So for my policy implication, I strongly encourage the policy to be modified to catering for the more specific needs. The last implication is the functional limitations and other conditions as risk factors for the ulcer. In order to reduce the risk of pressure ulcer among nursing home residents, nursing staff should pay additional attention while caring for elderly patients with certain conditions, including the bed restraint, nutritional approaching, experience any pains in the past 7 days, and any weight loss during the past. Any questions? I have to apologize. I have another presentation right after this. So if you have any questions, please ask now. Yeah. I think for the current measurement for people who has admitted with pressure ulcer is included as one of the covariant in this study. Yes?
Can I ask a question about your base population here? Because I tell you what strikes me. All Medicare and Medicaid certified nursing homes have both directors of nursing and medical directors.
Yeah.
I know that the National Nursing Home Survey includes board and care homes and things like that.
Yeah.
If you're, about certified nursing homes, are you including board and care homes in that?
According to this descriptive analysis, not 100% of the facilities in this study are having a medical director on board or a director of nursing, but the majority of them, higher than 90% of them, have the medical director on board in this sample population.